Right. Oops. Oops. Okay. So, have you ever wondered about when Jesus finally occurred to him, I'm the Christ. I'm the Christ, oh my God. And let's say he got that about at 10:30 in the morning. What do you think he did with the rest of his day? So this morning I'm going to begin a series. Jane mentioned last Sunday she's starting her series on emergence. And I'm going to be doing a series on looking at the life and teachings of Jesus. And as I mentioned last time, I'm going to present a coherent understanding of what he shares that basically is him teaching us, if we consider us and his disciple, or consider us in the role of student, he's going to share with us how to awaken, how to wake up. And so we're going to explore that for a while, see how it occurs. Anyway, I'm going to be sharing some slides, and Linda, some of these I'm going to try to explain as I go, so you're not left out of this. But right now I have a picture of myself up on the screen. And it really doesn't look like me so much as it looks like the universe exploding as the Big Bang. And so the point is that we are, if we're to consider ourselves children of the universe as opposed to products of our environment. I mean, when you think about what's happening in these days, it's not difficult for us to see that we're experiencing stresses and pressures to kind of be a certain way in the presence of what's happening in the world. Are you finding yourself being a certain way that's not necessarily the way that you would choose for yourself to be in relationship to what's happening in the world today? Do you find yourself kind of being pulled into stuff that you're not necessarily going there willingly, but it's just sort of the nature of what's happening? And so I'm wanting us to look at a ways in which through spiritual practice and through our understanding of Jesus' life and teachings, independent of the religious overlays or trappings of theology or Christianity per se, but just simply looking at the life and teachings of Jesus in the context of revealing to us a spiritual path in the midst of all the things, all the wonderful things that he had to say, independent of the religion about Jesus. I'm interested in his theology, what he saw, what was important in terms of his efforts to bring his disciples into the recognition of their own indwelling divinity. I'm interested in his effort to accomplish that and how it translates into our being able to live a more abundant and fulfilled life. And so in an effort to bring that forth, I'm going to begin my talk by sharing what I'm wanting you to be able to walk away with as questions to be able to ponder, regardless if you're in a spirit groups discussing the questions or not. So you have a sense of where this talk is going. And I can't read the monitor in the back, so so I'm going to have to be like you. And so what I'm inviting you to consider as you listen to this talk, to consider what does it mean to be a child of the universe or a child of God? And to think of that in the context of all the other ways in which we sort of have a sense of identity. I mean, we're all sons and daughters of earthly parents, but I'm inviting you to consider yourself sons and daughters of a cosmic dynamic that has brought you forth into this stream that is life on planet Earth. What would a conscious relationship with your higher self, this dimension of your own being that is infinite and eternal, what would that look like? And what kind of spiritual practice is necessary to bring and develop that relationship forward? And so as you listen to what I'm having to share today, as you think about those questions, sort of allow yourself to kind of shift into a mode of really taking this in as an invitation to enter into a dimension of your being that perhaps has just been a concept or a thought or a principle. It hasn't been a reality, a direct experience, a felt sense of your own worth, a felt sense of your own divinity, a felt sense that you're here to make a difference. That's what I want you to go away with, is a felt sense that you're here, and you're here because it's important. Your presence matters. And to feel any less important or otherwise diminished by what you're having as your experience in this world, it means that we have lost sight, lost connection to that place within ourselves that God has created, that God has sent us forth to express. All right, so that's what we're going to be checking into in terms of spirit groups. Now, I shared this next slide earlier in the month and didn't really have an opportunity to explain it, and I'm not going to explain it a lot right now, in the sense that I'm just going to share with you, as I mentioned last time, that as we look at the life and teachings of Jesus, and as we look at the expression, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, these words in Revelation, to describe what is the intention of the Christ, the intention of our divine nature in this earthly experience, is to awaken. That's our soul's journey, to wake up and become conscious beings, as opposed to being asleep to our own divinity and therefore being victims of the conditions and circumstances of our life. And so if we were to come to terms with Jesus's approach to developing that greater sense of who we are, independent of what we're having as our life experience, and that's an important distinction. Can you know yourself independent of what you're having as your life experience? If not, well, then that's the problem. The problem is we're so embedded in the external world as if that's the reality, to the detriment and exclusion of that dimension of our interior self that is infinite and eternal. And we have to recover that if we're to be able to be in this experience, in this environment, and not diminished by it. Does that make sense? Okay, good. So I'm going to be focused on, for the next couple times, looking at what is this, what's the objective of this path, this journey, our soul's journey. And if it's to wake up, what does that mean? And to look at Jesus's concept of that journey as well as what he used to describe the experience. And while he called this state of awakening, and he defined it in the context of his relationship to what he defined as Abba, Father, his sense of source, his sense of I am, we're not wanting to kind of get stuck with the patriarchy reference that is a part of the religious kind of filter that sometimes accompanies how we look at the language and the words that are used. So when we hear the word Father, when Jesus talks about the Father, he's talking about a dimension of himself that he is in relationship with and to. And that's something that we need to understand independent of whatever we've been brought up with about the life and teachings of Jesus, because it eclipses the reality of what Jesus is trying to share. And so that's my effort, is to kind of talk about that and give us a sense of context for understanding what Jesus' intent was with his disciples. He had no awareness that a world religion would be created around him. And so if we focus on what Jesus is trying to do, then it'll give us insight into how we can apply it to our own lives. And so I'm wanting us to see this idea that when Jesus describes his relationship to that dimension of himself that he calls Abba, Father, the Father, the things that I do, even greater things that we do, because I go unto the Father, he's saying that there is a connection that we can have within ourselves that enables us to transcend the experiences that we're having. The experiences that we're having is an effect of a creative process, but we're not in bondage to those effects when we understand the creative process, when we understand our lineage in the context of our connection to the universe, the cosmos, to spirit, to the divine, as opposed to our environment, what we're having as our life experience. And so as we begin
All
to...
Right.
Oh, hang on a second. Hang on a second. Hang on. Gotta go back. Okay. Okay. I'm good. Okay, thank you. Stop. Okay, the next thing that's going to happen is a movie. And because we're going to be looking at what does it mean to be a child of the universe, it's going to be important that we understand what the universe is, right? I mean, we all think we know what the universe is, but we really need to know what the whole universe is, all right? And so the person who's speaking speaks with an Australian accent, so tune in your ears to that, and he speaks very fast, and so it's important to kind of open yourself to that and just take in the experience and see what you think. Are we ready? Here we go.
All right, welcome to the universe.
Generally, little stuff comes under the title quantum physics, and big stuff, which we'll get to in a moment, is known as relativistic physics. Scientists are working very hard on getting the two of them to move in together, but currently they have severe commitment issues. A little further up, when we get to the code of life, deoxyribonucleic acid, also known as DNA. DNA is made of a sneeze called ATG, or adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine. Depending on how these are arranged, you can get anything from the Ebola virus, to papyrus, to the German iris, to Miley Cyrus. Up some more and we get to cells, some top favourites including red blood, white blood, dendritic, and soft. The next level above that should be familiar. This is where we find raindrops, blue whales, hacky sacks, red tube, the human race, as well as Norway. Out a little further, now we're looking down on all of human history, including all of your insecurities, mortgage repayments. Moving on, we get to the 8 planets and 146 moons of our solar system, which doesn't count Pluto, because you're not a planet, Pluto. You're done, mate. It's over, yeah? Then there's the Sun, which is a 4.5 billion year old burning ball of hydrogen and helium. Several billion years from now, the Sun will rage quit and turn into a red giant, gobbling whatever's left of our planet by then. Out again, and we find the Milky Way. The Milky Way contains at least 100 billion stars. Stars can be by themselves or orbiting each other, called a binary star system, or occasionally a group of three, which is called a trinary, ternary, and that's not all. There's also nebulae, which are little starry wombs where lots of stars are born, moons, which either come from planets or random floating matter, and comets, meteors, and a million other types of astronomical bodies that there simply isn't time to talk about. At the center of our galaxy, and lots of other galaxies, are black holes. These are enormous wells of gravity that suck matter in and distort time. Fun fact, if you held your breath while falling into a black hole, you would die. Obviously. And then there's the rest of the universe. The Milky Way, our galaxy, is one of at least 100 billion galaxies, each one prettier than the last. Since there are 100 billion galaxies with at least 100 billion stars in them, that means there are at least 100 billion trillion stars in the universe. The universe itself, as far as we're aware, is about 93 billion light years across. Or to put it another way, if you were traveling at the speed of light, 300 million meters per second, it would take you 93 billion years to get from one side to the other, except for the fact that the universe is expanding and the expansion is getting faster, which literally makes no sense. And yeah, that's about it, really. Oh, except there might be parallel universes and hidden dimensions of space. And we completely forgot about time. The universe began, if you can call it that, about 14 billion years ago, and the first few galaxies turned up a few hundred million years later. A few hundred million years after that, you get the Milky Way, another few and you've got a very young Earth, then oceans, then life a bit later, reptiles, dinosaurs, game over for dinosaurs, sorry chaps, evolution of hominids, and anyway, nothing means anything and we're all gonna die. Bye then.
That's just the way it was. I mentioned that it'd be very fast already. All right, so that's a brief description of the universe in 2.5 minutes. Sometimes we call the universe all the stuff, the physical stuff, the cosmos. And Ken Wilber borrowed from the Greek the word cosmos with a K, which basically means not only all the stuff, but also includes spirit, consciousness, the things that are invisible, intelligence. And so when we look at the universe, we need to see it not just the stuff, but there's in the stuff itself, there is energy, there is intelligence, there's information, there's spirit. And that is just as real as all the things that there are in the world. And so we want to keep that in mind because it's that immaterial essence that we're wanting to engage, because that's where all the power is. That's where the realm of cause happens. So as we look at the whole idea of the universe, we begin with the physical nature of it, because that's what's apparent, that's what's visible. And while science has since adapted its understanding of the nature of the universe, in other words, we thought that the universe was composed of basic building blocks such as atoms, which consisted of parts, elements, such as a nucleus and an electromagnetic field and orbiting electrons. And while we looked at that and had models of planets and things like that, we found that that was absolutely not the truth. That's not real. And so with quantum science, there becomes another understanding of what the dynamic of the smallest of particles in the context of the universe. So you have the microcosm, the very smallest of things, of stuff, and the macrocosm, which is the cosmos, the galaxies. But there at the micro part of it is not really a thing. It's just an energy field, a potential. And it's important that we understand that at the heart of all substance, all matter, including our physical self, is a potentiality, an energy field, that our essence is immaterial, incorporeal, it's eternal. And it's important for us to kind of reconnect to that. If we think about the component parts of the smallest items of materiality in the physical universe, think of the nucleus of the atom as a small SUV, and the orbiting electron as a chickpea. It's very small in comparison. Can you get the size difference between the smallest of the small and the nucleus, which is invisible and never been seen by the naked eye, but nonetheless, it's this relationship. But when we put these two component parts of the smallest part of the universe together, what we see is that there's a distance between the nucleus and the orbiting electron, and that distance is so vast, it's almost unfathomable, and that distance is 85,000 miles. If we were to kind of look at the actual distance in relationship between the nucleus and the orbiting electron, even though it's invisible, the actual space is so enormous that it is quite apart, separate. But yet, we think of the empty space as being empty, and the reality is that the empty space is not. And this is the fascinating realm and the awesome mystical realm of quantum science, is that the field is the most important aspect. Albert Einstein said that the field is the sole governing agency of the particle. So our experience is governed by a greater field that is invisible. It is actually and occupies the space within all space. If you've heard that one before. Those of you Dr. Joe's students, that's a common expression. To begin, and as we have mentioned in the past, those of us, many of us in our church who are meditation students of Dr. Joe, basically he teaches us to meditate on this field, on the space, because that's where our energy is, that's where our health and well-being is, in the field itself, as we bring that into our experience. If we think of the universe as this field and form experience, the form is all the stuff in the universe, the field is the potentiality. The field is the arena within which there is information and intelligence. And as we look at these two dimensions or aspects of the universe or the cosmos, and really then begin to find ourselves in the midst of that. On one hand, we live in the context of the form, or the stuff, or the physical nature of the universe, and it's easy for us to think that that's our identity, that's our reality, that's our essence. But all that we experience in our everyday life arises from the field. The field's invisible. The field is a potentiality, but that potentiality is interacted with, and that's what we want to learn, how to interact with a field of infinite possibilities so we can begin to create the forms or the environments that serve our spiritual journey as opposed to this earthly experience, which is not always sane, I guess is the right word. So I'm finishing up now, and basically this is an introduction to a more focused conversation that I'll get to before I'm done. But what I'm wanting us to see is that there is a dimension of our learning and growth that has yet to fully inhabit a dimension of our being that is the field within us. And part of accessing that field is not only the process of overcoming limiting beliefs, also the process of having dominion over our own emotional states, having the ability to direct our attention and awareness so we can kind of exclude all the distractions and focus on what we want. All those things must be supported by, if they're to be effective and lasting, with some authentic connection to that dimension of ourself that is within the field, that is this dimension that we can call, as Jesus called, he used the term Abba Father to describe that dimension, but we can use a different term. You can use Father or God. You can use Jesus, Christ. I like to use higher self. For me, that term works for me. The dimension of my being that lives independent of my conditioned mind or my sense of separate self is the reality of my essence. And I'm just naming that so I can begin to make a journey and a practice towards inhabiting that. And as we begin to create our own language and understanding and terminology for this engaging, this dimensional relationship with that part of us that is the field, you call it what you need to call it. And so I'm going to describe it as getting connected to your higher self. And so you can translate that however you like. But one of the things that I mentioned earlier as we began with is that we have to create a felt sense of our connection to the divine. It doesn't work just to intellectually know this. If there's a disconnect between what we know and what we feel in our heart of hearts, it's not going to work. I mean, you can have a great idea about your abundance and about how to get it, but if you have a sense of not enough within you, it'll cancel it out. So there has to be congruence between the felt sense and the intellectual knowing if it's to really make a difference in your life. So how do we get a felt sense of that part of ourself that brings us into this creative expression and therefore this autonomy with respect to what's happening in the environment? And so there are some ideas that I have that we should be able to access a dimension of ourself that's more than enough. And we should be able to do this quickly, in the moment. And part of what I'm going to be talking about in subsequent sharings is how to do this, how to have a conscious relationship with that dimension of yourself that I'm calling my higher self. Not only a sense of more than enough, a sense of feeling worthy, a sense of empowerment, a sense of being unlimited. These are the qualities, the felt sense of what it means to inhabit that dimension of your being that is not tied to the physicality of life, you see. And that's what we have to begin to focus upon if we're to bring heaven onto earth, as Jesus said. Behold, I've created before you a new heaven to bring forth a new earth. And so that's our effort. That's what our focus needs to be upon. And then finally, as we look at this whole idea of being a child of the universe, we have to keep in mind that some of our religious trappings have baggage associated with this whole idea of our parent-child relationship to the cosmos. So if you have baggage with respect to your religious upbringing, if Father God is too patriarchal, or the idea of God or Jesus is too loaded for you, then just simply bring yourself into a connection with that part of you that you know is infinite and eternal, the dimension of yourself that is free to think, free to believe, free to open itself. It's just that what you want to open to is the dimension of the within as opposed to what's going on out there so much. We are already masters at being enabled by the environment. We need to dial that back and become masters at being enabled with giving expression to this dimension of ourself that is here to rescue, if necessary, us from our craziness. Let's see if I have anything else. Last slide. So we want to consciously welcome that part of us that is this dimensional self that lives in the field as the conduit, the portal. So what one of the things I haven't talked about yet, let's see if I have a slide for it. No, I don't. Okay, one of the things if you remember the distinction between the field and the form, and seeing that the form arises from the field, but what creates the interaction between the field and the form is consciousness, is mind, is thought. And as we begin to use our consciousness and our mind in alignment with engaging this dimensional aspect of ourself, we will abandon certain behaviors. And this is what I'm wanting to begin to talk about and begin to explore with you. So this is just kind of an introduction to learning and to getting to know that part of you that is infinitely internal, and the part of you that we're awakening as a part of this our soul's journey. Thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you. It wasn't like the first service. It was a little bit like the first service. It evolved. So unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many paths to God, the many ways of worshiping God, for we know there's only one life, one presence, one power, one God. So whoever you are, or wherever you are on your journey of transformation, you are welcome here. And we'd especially